Acme Lithium, a company positioned near the epicenter of lithium production in the United States. Since 1966, Nevada's Clayton Valley has been the primary production source for lithium in all of North America. Acme Lithium holds two promising lithium projects in the Clayton Valley region. Acme Lithium, U.S. trading symbol ACLHF, and in Canada, ACME. Web address, acmelithium.com. That's acmelithium.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Jeremy Zakas, reporting from New South Wales on unusual weather in Australia. Perhaps it's always been there, although Jeremy assures me the tornadoes that we've reported these last weeks are rare. Now we come to not a tornado, and yet, from the photographs, it looks like a very strong wind hitting Victoria with toppled trees. Jeremy, a very good day to you. What is the explanation by the meteorologists about this storm? I'm looking at damaged homes, torn down trees, and obviously there were flying objects everywhere. What happened?
G'day, John. Yes, another massive storm has hit Australia, this time in Victoria, and meteorologists are a little bit befuddled about what's causing it. While there is the technical explanation about the warmer currents in the northern part of the state and the colder currents converging and creating these supercells, the reason why we're seeing so many now and in such ferocity, there's no real explanation. There is some discussion that this might be a longer cycle that outdates basically the records that we keep with the weather. So this may have happened before, but it just wasn't recorded. But right now, this is effectively a freak weather pattern. And I might say, too, in Victoria, while it wasn't a tornado, there were at least 500,000 people that lost power. There were at least 328,000 people that may have suffered damage. Thousands of calls to our emergency services and massive mature gum trees, which have large root systems, were being uprooted. So the weather system that came through was incredibly fierce, incredibly severe, almost tantamount to being a tornado, but it was just so widespread, so it technically wasn't.
You say there was rain, heavy rain, flooding rain?
Very heavy rain. In fact, the storm system started from the early morning hours of Friday and continued into the afternoon. The rain occurred in the early morning hours when there was reasonably strong wind, but once the rain stopped, it soaked in for a few hours. Then there was a second lot of wind, which occurred in around about the late morning to early afternoon. And that seems to be whereabouts that the tree started being uprooted. So there is some speculation that the rain from earlier in the morning did soften the soil, but It was a very heavy downfall, and was that soft enough to actually really just take out these large trees, which is very, very unusual.
And right now, we don't connect this with the hurricanes that occurred in New South Wales. Is that correct?
No.
This is a different weather entirely.
Well, yes and no, John. Yes and no. There's no direct connection being made yet by the meteorologists. However, there is noting that the weather system that caused this superstorm was very, very similar to the weather systems that caused the tornadoes in Bathurst, in Armidale, New South Wales, and then up in Brisbane, Queensland. So there is an implicit and implied connection at the moment, and I suspect strongly we may find out more during the week from the meteorologists, because we're talking about this last storm only being about 48 hours ago, so all the data is still coming in. But there's something going on here in the East Coast, John, something going on.
We go to Queensland, southwest Queensland, which is more frontier than New South Wales or Victoria. And what appears to me to be, Jeremy, that storm has a center like a tornado, but you tell me it's dust.
It is. It's an enormous dust storm. In Australia, let me paint a picture here, John. Summertime, we do get dust, we do get wind, and occasionally you get dust in the air. We call it a dust storm. But nothing to this effect. I mean, this was a genuine dust storm. People couldn't see about 10 meters in front of them, so about 30 feet in front of them. And the winds were incredibly strong again. We're talking up to 80 kilometers an hour to 100 kilometers an hour. So thinking about 50 to 60 miles per hour. But it wasn't a tornado because it was on a long front. It wasn't one particular area, but it had the same impact, the same wind strength in some areas as a tornado because of the funneling effect of the hills in Queensland, which for people who've been to Queensland, or to put you in perspective with Queensland, is a lot of rolling hills, is a lot of valleys, is a lot of gullies. So any windborne storm, especially carrying dust, makes an absolute impact.
We're not talking about the virus because it's over. Everybody's back outside. It's summertime, which is why these weather patterns are odd. However, Jeremy tells me that there is an event that happens in the summertime that is routine. Everybody calm down now. I'm going to tell you what is ordinary for Australians. The snakes come out. And when the snakes come out, public service on the television reminds you what happens when the snakes come out. Jeremy, describe this gently, because we've got a whole lot of people who are afraid of snakes.
Yes, this is a very Australian thing, John. It's something we've all grown up with, something that in some ways we hold dear because it's such an Aussie thing to happen. But yes, we're now entering summer because we know the public service announcements about what to do with the snake bite are starting to come out on television and on the internet. Now, let's put it in perspective here. Snakes aren't coming into our homes, aren't attacking us daily, but the reality is pretty much in every part of Australia, and I must say, in the cities as well, snakes don't just stay in the rural areas. We have a lot of venomous snakes, and they all come out in the summertime because the warm temperatures make it much easier for them to move. They breed, they begin to look for new habitats, and they're on the move. Now, the most particular snake that we always look out for, the brown snake, is especially vicious around this time of year because they've just woken up from their hibernation during the winter. They're ready to move. They've had their young, and the young are frisky. And basically, they're not scared of humans. The old adage is that if you just stand still, a snake will go away. They don't. Unfortunately, the brown snake will still come at you. It will raise your head. It will try and bite you. I've had this on about 5 occasions myself where I've nearly stepped on them. Luckily enough, touch wood, I haven't been bitten yet. But this is a serious thing, John. I mean, I don't want to scare people coming to Australia, but honestly, in the summertime, you've got to be careful. We've got snakes.
Now, if you're bitten by a brown snake, what do you do? What is the recommendation?
Absolutely. You've got to get basically put a compress bandage onto it immediately. So you've got to wrap up and down above the wound and below the wound, especially if it's on a limb, because what you have to do is you have to effectively stop the blood flow transmitting the poison around the body. It does happen relatively quickly, but there's no reason to panic because it happens over a number of minutes. So the first aid is effectively get that bandage onto the limb, stay calm, do not walk around because that will just pump the poison into the heart, and seek help. And the timeline for people dying from snake bites varies. It can go from half an hour to 12 hours. To some people have lasted 24 hours before succumbing. But normally if you get to a hospital within the first half an hour, people do survive. All our hospitals carry antivenine. So we are very, very lucky here in that respect. But honestly, if you get bitten, even if you think it's just gone through your jeans or just gone through your pants, hasn't hit the skin, you've really got to get some medical attention pretty quick.
Does it show that you've been bitten? Are there two puncture wounds? Does it turn blue or and discolor in some fashion?
Not all the time. Normally you will see the puncture wounds, and people who've been reportedly bitten without having any pants on, so just wearing shorts, for example, and direct skin, will get the puncture wounds. But we've unfortunately had a few cases in South Australia where individuals working in wood piles feel a bite, don't see any puncture wounds, go to bed, and then unfortunately died the next day because no puncture wounds were visible, and the swelling didn't really pop up until late at night time when they were asleep. So you will see a little bit of red around the wound sometimes too, but it's different for everybody. Some people do not react straight away, which is why the medical experts say just go to a hospital. They can test for the venom being in your system, but you don't always see it.
And what do they do for you at the hospital? Do they take the poison out? Do they cut you?
No, it's effectively a series of anti-venom injections. So it's a course of what I believe to be saline drips, so trying to replace your fluids as quickly as possible. They do definitely get the anti-venom onto you, and it's about 24 to 48 hours of observation at the absolute minimum. So you do have a hospital stay ahead, but once they get that the drugs into you very quickly, most people tend to rebound.
Jeremy, brown snakes, are these common? Are they in your backyard?
They are everywhere. Hopefully, fingers crossed, they're not in my backyard right now. But I can tell you, less than 100 meters, less than 300 feet from here, almost every single season around this time, we'll find a dead one on the road because they're not really traffic smart. they are absolutely around the main footpaths, the public areas. And right now, for example, when we take our dogs for a walk, I avoid going near our lakes down there because they do need to drink and they do congregate around the reeds and around the longer grass in the lake. So as an Aussie, you know where not to go at this time of year. So honestly, John, that they are absolutely common, but fingers crossed they're not in my backyard.
Wait. This time of year, it's springtime. What time of year? I mean, you go to the beach. I take it that the brown snakes don't like salt water. Is that correct?
That's correct. But if you have a swimming pool in your backyard, watch out. They do like to drink, and when they drink, they often fall in, and they can survive for some time underwater. I've had instances when I lived back in my hometown, Adelaide, where we did have a swimming pool, pulling out a snake from the pool, and the thing's still alive. So you can imagine how quickly I threw it over the fence to the nature reserve behind us. But you know what? They're not always at the beach, but we do have sea snakes too, but that's another story. So, you know, Australia, snakes galore.
I'm beginning to see why a very famous Hollywood actress is living in downtown Sydney and not near swimming pools. Tell us about your visitor who has celebrated her 54th birthday.
Yes, we've been honored to have Julia Roberts visit us here in Sydney. She has taken a $56 million mansion by the harbour, which is fantastic, on the water there. So she's well and truly away from snakes. But we're just happy to see that she's getting into the Aussie lifestyle. She's been photographed in her pajamas out having a coffee just by the water, which is what every Sydneysider does. And she's now celebrating her birthday here. Hopefully she sticks around a bit longer than just the quarantine 2 weeks that she's mandated to, but it looks like she's having a great time. We're all abuzz here in Sydney, just thrilled to have her here.
Jeremy Zakas, unusual weather, lots of brown snakes, and a Hollywood actress in Sydney Harbour. Jeremy Zakas is in New South Wales. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.